You're listening to
the DEA Podcast.
The opinions expressed on the DEA Podcast are merely the streaming thoughts of the host and guests and should not be relied upon or acted upon without further due diligence. If you do not agree to this, then you must immediately switch off and run far, far away. Permission to republish the DEA Podcast is permitted, providing a link to the show notes is included.
Podcast@energy-performance-certificate.org.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Today is 2nd of October 2007, and yes, this is the DEA Podcast. We're at now episode 14. And a good day to America too. We've had a few people from America listening to the podcast, believe it or not. And if anyone's interested, there is a quite useful series of vidcasts I found last night. If you anyone's interested in what home inspection involves in America, then try this one. It's www.nfinilachinarchi.tv. And it's only one page, but I think there's about five vidcasts on there, and a couple of them I saw last night actually run through a home inspection on an American, well, several American homes. Quite interesting, and check out the truck, the home inspection truck. Anyway, today, marking the last show of season one, and our last returning guest in the season, the limits of excitement are once again nudged to breaking point, for I am joined by the irrepressible Neil Kurtz of Energy Experts. Regular listeners will know that Neil is no stranger to the podcast, but like Jim Gillespie last week, instead of being a mere commentator, this time it is Neil Kurtz, MD of Energy Experts, to whom I speak with today. Neil, welcome.
Hello, Mike. Hello, avid listeners.
Let's just jump straight to the news. Not much that I could really pick up on this week, but scraping the barrel somewhat. Rumours abound of, low-level and unsubstantiated rumours, I should say, abound of trading standard officers stalking, I believe, estate agents. Neil, speak.
Fantastic news. Yes, yes. No, I think there's a few lurking around in Hampshire doing a bit of good work.
Really?
We certainly not had anything in Buckinghamshire yet, but no, I mean, if it's good news, if they can put the wind up the estate agents and get a few more graphs on the particulars, then good news.
Do you think it's actually happening, or do you think it's just one of these things that's sent to frighten, but, you know, like a press release?
Yes, well, definitely the frighteners were put on, and then I think the good news is probably one trading standards officer who's managed to, probably his best friend or something works in an estate agent, and so the stories are out that the trading standards are out there trying to do some work, but if it has any positive impact, great, but I think in reality it's the agents are doing what the agents are doing. That's not going to change.
Speaking to one of the providers last week, I shan't name, but they were saying that they think they're snooping around the Bournemouth area. So any estate agents listening around there, watch out. What do you think, Neil, of the teeth that the trading standards have? Have you read up on them?
Well, it's not something I sort of take to bed to read, Mike, actually.
No, weirdly.
I mean, look, they've got the power. Trading standards have massive powers over estate agents, enormous powers. They can come in and shut you down straight away. They can come in and empty all your filing cabinets out and cause you serious havoc without any evidence, okay? So they have got tremendous powers. The estate agents quite often forget that. But in reality, they're also under-resourced, and that is the big, big problem. They haven't been given any additional resources to go and start digging around in estate agents' offices to try and find the odd property without an EPC or without a HIP. So I don't think anything's going to change dramatically before the end of the year.
I read the regulations came out the other week. I'll provide a link to that. Quite long PDF file. And it just seems like it's just put in there just to assuage some concerns of the industry, but there's no real weight behind pushing it forward. They want to educate and help estate agents who aren't complying, and those that repeatedly flout the law, they will be the ones that get it. But at £200 and with a council that really don't wish to pursue it through the magistrates court, What kind of teeth is that? You've got to ask, haven't you?
You do.
Okay. That was a short one, Neil. Thanks. Second one then. 45% of solicitors say they intend to compile their own home information packs. This was a survey done by the Law Society a couple of weeks ago, really. I missed out on, but... what do you think of that, Neil? Is that because I know you're launching your home information pack provision service? Does that worry you?
Yes. Let's pick up on the Law Society. Isn't it interesting? Why would 45% of the solicitors choose to compile their own HIPs when the Law Society struck a deal many, many, many months ago now with MDA to produce the Law Society MDA HIP? Why would solicitors choose not to use the MDA route? That's the question I would ask.
So MDA must be doing something wrong then. Is that what you're implying?
It's possible, isn't it?
Certainly, if you read between
the lines. If solicitors are going to dump their existing provider, why would they dump their existing provider? You wouldn't dump your existing provider if they were doing a good job. But
was this a deal that the Law Society did on behalf of its member solicitors? To go through MDA?
Of course, yes.
Was it?
Yes, and MDA did the same thing with the NAEA as well. They weren't chosen as the lead provider, that was LMS, but they did sneak in and managed to become lead provider for Homelink, which is the large referral network for the NAEA. MDA are huge. I think those people do acknowledge that. They are a very, very big firm, so it's not surprising that they do pop up when you start dealing with large outfits like the Law Society or the NAEA.
What would you say that these solicitors, the fact that they're seeking to compile their own information packs, is that good news for the DEAs? Because it's...
Yes. I mean, it depends which way you look at it, okay? You split right down the middle. If you're an employed DEA, then it doesn't make any difference to you. Actually, what you want is PAC providers using employed solutions. So that is, that's whether it be LMS or HES or HIP Array or one of that's a slightly different model. But that's an employed solution. But if you're freelance, then... actually, if the solicitors are going to pick up their own packs or create their own packs, then they may well look for local DEAs as the solution, someone they can trust. So, yes, that would be a good thing, Mike.
I think it must be, because if they're not going through MDA now, and I'm assuming that MDA would panel the work out and to supply the EPCs, so if the solicitors aren't going that route anymore... then that opens the market up for DEAs to go and provide the EPCs. Am I right?
Correct. I mean, they do need to approach... the DEAs would need to approach their local solicitors, though, and make sure that their name is in the frame. A lot of solicitors aren't really sure where to look for DEAs in terms of quality, but also quantity. Where would they find one? We all know about Find a DEA or Home Inspector's Directory, but many solicitors... have ignored HIPs for a long, long time now, and as powerful as those directories are, those online directories, I don't see them advertising in law journals or the Law Gazette. So you've got to be right in front of a solicitor before you're going to get noticed.
Interesting. Okay. That was the news. Unless you've got anything you want to jump in there with, Neil.
No, I'm just trying to figure out. There was something good the other day. So a quick looky. I need to flesh it out in terms of the detail, but I think PSG Group have bought Vibra, or Core Systems, who are behind Vibra, which is the largest estate agency software in the country. Here we go. Found it now. Press release from acquisition of Core Estates by GMG, who I believe are behind PSG. If that's true, it means PSG have manoeuvred themselves into a very powerful position. Vibra and Core Estates. I mean, Vibra is an extremely powerful estate agency software, piece of kit. It is pretty expensive for estate agents to run, so you need to be quite a good size estate agency before you can afford to run this software.
This is Vibra. Vibra spelled V-E-B-R-A.
Correct.
Okay, I've heard of this. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so it could be, really, where agents typically use software on a day-to-day basis, and they have links through. It says, you know, order a pack from so-and-so or order a pack from, you know, XYZ, whoever companies are. This is done in reverse now. You've got the pack provider, well, search company turned pack provider, buying the estate agency software. So it's interesting to see how the acquisitions will go. I mean, this is the first... I haven't looked at any depth at it, but it looks like the first important acquisition. Obviously, we had the wobble with First Sellers Pack a couple of weeks ago, with the printing firm that was just struggling there for a bit, but that's all resolved itself. But this looks like the first interesting acquisition.
Yeah, maybe it's something to do with something I read today, which is probably something else I should report on. Landmark apparently released a press release. I've discovered this on the ABSS site this afternoon, that they are providing functionality now. If you're in the software industry, you'll know what an API stands for. It's like if I stick, which I do, on my directory, I use Google Map. And what Google do is provide an API which allows me to manipulate its database to draw in the area in which a DEA is able to work and willing to work, and that interaction is an API. And I think Landmark have announced a similar type of API for access into and out of, I believe, there's not much detail on this, but of its Landmark database, so software vendors can retrieve EPCs basically from their database. Maybe it's something to do with that, Neil, in the fringes, I don't know, because Vibra, as you say, are dominant.
Very powerful.
Yeah. Something else, really, without going on. Apparently, I don't know whether you heard this, Neil, but in the northeast, there's this lady called Sarah Maines Property, who's an estate agent, and she's been receiving offers from fellow estate agents in that area who are looking to sell their estate agents because of the uncertainty surrounding the Home Information Pack. And apparently, she's getting around. And one offer a month, I think. Yeah, roughly.
Selling their businesses.
Estate agents.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've reached in terms of estate agency world volumes now. Looking ahead for the next year or so, you wouldn't think they're going to be that great. Now, what's happened is, in many towns, more and more estate agency offices have opened to take advantage of the increase in terms of. Transactions that have gone on over recent years, and I think a lot of estate agents will now walk away.
Because of the Home Information Pack?
No, because the volumes have probably peaked. So nothing to do with the Home Information Pack. I think it's a culmination of, in terms of affordability is now really at stretching point. Interest rates are as high as they're going to be for a little while. So there are not that many buyers out there now. Compared to last year,
couldn't have picked a better time. And I'm speaking sarcastically, really, to have launched a major improvement to the home buying process. Anyway, let me just finish off the news there and call that quits.
You're listening to the DEA podcast.
We're under pressure of timing. We've got to do this in 10 minutes, according to Duncan. So we better crack on without repeating myself. So bring us up today. What's been happening over the energy experts, Neil? What's
busy
new?
Busy times, Mike. Busy times, actually. We're getting busier and busier week on week. It was about two and a half weeks ago. The volumes just tripled, which was a shock, to say the least. We're expecting a sort of slow, steady increase every week, But no, the three bedrooms kicked in, and also... I think really there were a fair amount of 4, 5, 6, 7 bed houses that agents had obviously had signed up, but it meant that there weren't very many new instructions coming through in the first couple of weeks of September. But of course, an awful lot of people start phoning up for valuations towards the end of September, and they all need packs. So
I'm sorry, Neil. Our 10 minutes is up, I'm afraid.
Very good. So, it's getting busier and busier, Mike.
Well, good. Well, good. Have you been passing on? Because you are an EPC panel, aren't a DEA panel manager, whatever you want to call yourself.
Yeah, we're a panel for DEAs and HIs. Yes.
And have you been getting many instructions?
Yes.
How many?
Not thousands, but yes, hundreds. We're not operating at the high volume end of the market. I've turned away the high volume, low fee work. I don't feel that's where I want to position Energy Experts. It's relatively, you know, it's easy to get hold of that work, but it's not where we want to position ourselves.
You have been a champion, you could say, in the industry of sticking to the high fees. So you might as well explain what that offer is.
Well, in terms of EPC fees.
Yeah.
Well, I think our average sort of fee range is the region of 90 to up to 140 is a typical range. Average fees have been around 125, 120, that sort of mark. But obviously, I think with one and two bedrooms coming in, at some point, I expect the fee levels will dip a little bit, but not if you were to take this. Is this normal operating for 4, 5, 6, 7 bedroom properties? Then yes, I think it is. And then obviously for one and two bedroom properties, the fees should be probably a bit lower. We'll just keep plugging away, Mike. We're quite happy to deal with customers who are prepared to pay a good rate for good quality service.
Is there a rate that you're charging at? Is there a specific band, a scale?
No, I have different customers who pay me different rates, so we don't have a fixed fee scale. I mean, let's be honest, in the commercial world, if you're having a fixed fee scale, you can only have it leaning one way, and that's towards the company. So you're not going to guarantee yourself a loss, are you? But no, we don't have a fixed fee scale. It's more important to have good customers that we're happy to work alongside. We do genuinely sort of partner with the customers and provide them a good service that, you know, they don't see us just as a supplier, but we're there to support them to go and win more business.
When you say the client, you mean the end user?
So in what regard, Mike?
Sorry, do you mean...
They'll go and win business from more clients. That could be anybody. There's whether that be a estate agency firm, solicitor firm, could be another panel or a pack provider, could be, you know, okay, repossession company, it could be a part exchange company, it could be a new build company. There's a lot of different customers out there.
Even today, there was another, someone else came onto the forum writing of a tale that he had received a job from Vibrant Energy. And there was no detail on it, apparently. It was £65 plus the VAT, I believe, the value to him. He went to the job. It was a 24-bed mansion. Now, we've covered this in the past on the podcast about the amount of information that comes through with an instruction. Clearly, this chap was saying, I think it was Ian Burridge, was saying that there was obviously no homework done on behalf of Vibrant. Do you perform any of that? How informative are your instructions that come through?
Well, we ask our sellers for obviously we try and confirm the number of bedrooms, and then ask the age of the property. Has it been extended? Has it got a conservatory? So I'd like to think that we get some important information there. We're not going to run through the whole of the seller's questionnaire, but you know, we are happy to ask those questions because it does make a difference, obviously, to DEAs. And actually, to be fair, it makes a difference who we're going to place the work with as well. If you end up with some quite enormous property, you don't want to place it with someone for their very first EPC. It would be very unfair.
Sure. Someone's got to do it, haven't they, I suppose?
If it's a particularly difficult property, you know, 8 bedrooms, 2 or 3 extensions, then you probably want to... you know, deal with someone who's carried out many EPCs.
You're no stranger to the forums, and you get involved in the fraternity, and I think that's to your credit. So, well, I mean, we're more or less quite au fait with the problems DEAs have on the field. What about the problems that you have as a company?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we don't really struggle too much in terms of people going about lodgement times and things like that. I would like to think we're reasonably fair. We ask for lodging to be done by the end of the following day. So I don't think that that's the end of the following working day. So if you did the work on a Friday, you've got till Monday evening, which is, you know, I think, is pretty fair. In reality, of course, most people who carry out the work on a Friday will lodge over the weekend. But so that works quite well. The problems, I mean, yes, of course, data is always a problem. You know, the quality of data we receive from our customers isn't always 100%. But we do endeavour to do as much checking as we can. I mean, we have had one or two instances where, you know, properties come through with, X bedrooms, and we find out too late, unfortunately, that the property is a lot smaller or a lot bigger. And, of course, the ones that everyone knows about will be the ones that are a lot bigger. They're the ones that people discuss. No one ever says,
yeah,
oh, you know, it was a six-bedroom property, but it turned up and it was only a four, you know. Yeah. And you won't hear anyone, you know, jumping around about that one. They'll keep quiet, actually. So, but no, I mean, it's problem-wise, communications improved quite a lot, actually. I think it's now a long-standing record. It was set some weeks ago, but it took 11 different, had to phone 11 different DEAs before someone picked the phone up. That was quite impressive, I felt, because I was phoning at about 5 o'clock in the evening when most people should be available, you would have thought. But that was some weeks ago, actually. And
Richard and Judy's on then.
Well, that could be it. That could be it. Block is countdown on as well, I don't know. But
It's finished by then, Neil.
But problem-wise, that's it, really. It's not, we're not really struggling with problems, I have to say.
So, in terms of dealing with DEAs, getting the jobs through, there's not many problems you can talk of.
No, I mean, one or two DEAs have technical gaps in their knowledge, and that's slightly frustrating when they're asking. Phoning in here for, you know, saying, well, I'm not sure about this or I'm not sure about that. And I say, well, have you spoken with your accreditation scheme? No, I haven't, is the reply. And I think, well, you know, before I pull my hair out, I suggest you do. And they quickly, you know, see the sense to phone the accreditation scheme and get the problems resolved. But overall, Mike, I think it's going quite well.
It's difficult when you hear people saying, when you even read newsletters from the accreditation companies saying, look, you know, we're not here to hold your hand. You've accredited, you've proved your worth. Don't ask us any questions that you should know.
Yes.
But they're being basically left out in the cold, aren't they? I'm not saying
this is every
accreditor.
I mean, it's time for the DEAs can put the boot on the other foot. I'm sick to death of some of these accreditation. NHER last Friday decided that they'd do an IT upgrade all morning. Only it wasn't all morning, it was till early afternoon. Well, out in the commercial world that we live in, we have to lodge reports. We have to deliver them to customers. And I don't care if it's NHER or any other accreditation scheme. It's all very well having IT upgrades, but what you need to do, announce them well in advance. It's planned work. Everybody can get their heads around it and adjust their workflow to suit. But I spoke with one of my DEAs and they said, well, we're trying to lodge the work, but we're ready to go. The software doesn't work. And you think, forget it. And there's been a number of these problems across the schemes. It's getting a bit frustrating, I have to say.
Incredible. That is incredible.
Well, it is okay. When, as a DEA, you're paying their bills. That's what it comes
exactly.
down to. You're
exactly.
paying the accreditation scheme's bills. The other one, someone phoned the helpline. This was, again, Friday evening. Different DEA, different EPC. Phoned the helpline, but who were open until 6, except, of course, at 5:30, they'd all gone home. What do you say to that?
Exactly. I've phoned up an accreditation company a few weeks ago now, at 5, just shortly after 5 o'clock, no answer.
No.
An answer machine. It was just incredible.
Yeah,
anyway.
The pressure's really on. I mean, the pressure will be really on. People, DEAs and HIs are going to migrate to those accreditation schemes that deliver good service. At the moment, there isn't anyone I particularly recommend or equally I would avoid. It's too early to tell. They aren't really under true pressure, but we'll know. February or March, we'll soon know, and people will multi-accredit themselves. They will go dual and triple accreditation to simply, you know, use, they will migrate towards the ones with the best helplines, and that those that have helplines are available on Saturdays and all the rest of it. So, you know, you're paying quite a lot of money for your lodgement. You should demand service for that.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what I've been trying to cry out for the last few weeks, not just of the accreditation schemes, but of people like yourselves. The DEA should be asking, well, if you want me to work for this fee, what are you offering me?
Absolutely. You know, I'm very demanding of DAs and HRs I give work to. I'm very demanding. I don't sit there and hold their hands. If they put one foot out of line, I do come down on them like a ton of bricks. And we have got people that are no longer on the panel. And that's, you know, that's unfortunate. But we've got to stick to quality. We cannot just, you know, have this sort of, oh, it will be fine, it will be all right on the night. It won't be. This is live now. We're not gone are the days of the dry runs.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. You've recently announced the launch, or are you about to, I don't know, of the home, your provision of home information packs to the DEA.
Yes.
Explain what the package you're offering is.
Okay.
When you're about to launch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a soft launch, really. It's been sort of trickling out the last couple of days, and there's more detail to come over the next few days. The postal strike isn't going to help us coming up shortly, because we have a lot of literature that needs to go out to people, and that probably can't go out till next Wednesday owing to all these postal strikes. But we'll do the best we can. Really, look, Energy Experts is not a HIP provider and is not becoming a HIP provider. But what we are doing is actually working with one of our existing customers, who we rate very highly, and providing a very neat solution to empower DEAs and HIs to go and approach their local estate agents, or anyone involved in maybe part exchanges, or anyone involved in the property industry, really, who's going to need HIPs. So they can go and meet those people and say, last week I could offer you an EPC, this week I can offer you the whole HIP. Are you interested? And I think it now puts DEAs and HIs, you know, with some serious firepower now. You know, no longer do they need to sort of sit around and wait for the work to arrive. They can actually go and seek that work with some good firepower behind them, some good backing.
How long have you been thinking of doing this, Neil?
Not very long at all, Mike. 3 to 4 weeks. Okay. I'd always considered, you know, do I want to be a pack provider? Well, the quick answer is no. Never has been the case, and I doubt whether I will, you know, want to get into that sort of thing. Because when I hear talk of searches and leaseholds, and it just bores me to tears. So you've got to stick to what you do. Now, what we do is we place EPCs and HCRs with DAs and HIs. That's what we do. And in this offering, the bit that we are doing is placing EPCs and placing HCRs. Nothing changes from what we're doing. We're getting involved in pushing out there in terms of the literature and the promotion, simply because from the three partner firms, we're by far the sort of most well-known, and also, you know, we've got incredible reach with the newsletters and with the forums as well. So it makes sense to sort of push it out, you know, strongly, and give DAs and HIs the opportunity to go and, you know, earn themselves some proper fees. But what triggered it is actually a couple of weeks ago. I think many people know, but I own a small estate agency locally as well. So I get to see the literature from an estate agent's angle that many sort of DAs and HIs would never see. And I noticed that one of the leading pack providers, within 7 days of it announcing that it was going to reduce the EPC fees from 75, 85 or £95, there were three bandings, they were dropping it down to a fixed fee of £65, it actually put the price of the HIP up £20. So the price of the HIP went up to £319 plus that. And I thought, hang on a minute, you're having your cake and eating it. You're paying less to the DEA, but charging more for the HIP. That in itself was the trigger for me to get the wheels in motion. So I immediately phoned one of my customers and said, I think we really need to turn it on its head and you know, spin this around the other way and allow DEAs and HIs to go out there and promote HIPs and really offer the HIP. And that's what we managed to do.
Well, the timing's brilliant, isn't it? Because it just so happens that more and more DEAs are actually looking in this direction now, aren't they, of extending the bow and
Well, they are.
And who can blame them?
Too, because, you know, they've walked into estate agents or they've walked to solicitors, and these people say, oh, it's, you know, it's lovely to meet you. I've not met a DEA or an HI before, but so it's good to meet with you. And so what can you do for me? And they say, well, I can do this energy report, or I can do an HCR. Whereas actually, your average estate agent doesn't want an EPC. They want the solution. The solution is the HIP. So I think it's taken far too long, probably, for this idea to actually come forward. But in some ways, where was the pressure to provide this solution when the leading PAC providers were paying respectable EPC fees? There was no pressure for any alternative. The pressure has only come as the price paid for the EPCs for DEAs has dropped, and dropped quite dramatically, of course. I mean, you know, I think many people in training were told, you know, £100 to £120 was what you would earn for doing an EPC, and now 60, 65.
How much investment behind this have you put in, Neil? Have you got extra staff in to cope with the extra administration that's involved?
Well, the good news is it's spread across three professional companies. So actually, the IT does the hard work. So yes, the IT company does have has recruited additional staff. The solicitor firm doesn't need additional staff because this is what they do day to day. This is not there's nothing scary about what they're offering here. The freehold properties are relatively straightforward. Leasehold, they do require a bit of extra work, but then of course they charge a little bit more for leasehold. And from energy experts' point of view, we have no problem with capacity. So we're ready to go.
And are you looking for people now to sign up to this to offer it in their own hometown?
Absolutely, yes. If people would like to contact me, and we can go through all the communication at the end of the podcast, but if you genuinely have an estate agent or a solicitor that you think is interested in a HIP solution through you, where you will get you will be offered the first opportunity on all EPC work, then please contact me.
So you might as well speak then of the package or the price that you're charging for the HIP.
Okay, we'll run through the detail then. The actual freehold HIP price, this is all net prices. You'll add VAT to all of this. Is $295. There were three things that I wanted when we were putting this proposition together. I really, and we're talking with the two other partner companies, we had to have the HIP price at $299 or less in order to compete with some of the larger players. Even if some of these larger players are beginning to put their HIP prices up, there is this perception that $299 is the going rate or $300 is the going rate. So we had to be at that mark or less in order to compete. It's very, very hard to empower a DEA or an HI and give them an expensive product and say, you know, go for it, best of luck, away you go. You know, it's you're not going to do too well. The second thing was it was vital that deferred payment was an option. I believe there's going to be a strong take-up of deferred payment. My experience as sellers, and of course, you know, I've carried out hundreds of home valuations through my agency over, you know, a few years. So I understand how many sellers don't necessarily want to part with their cash when they come on the market. And actually, to be fair, a number of them simply don't have that cash either. And we have the UK culture is, you know, no sale, no fee. And also with the solicitors, a lot of those are no sale, no fee. So deferred payment was absolutely critical. And we've got that sorted. I mean, that was sorted actually last year, so there's nothing new there. And the EPC fee, I mean, this is where it all becomes, you know, a point of debate, if you like. My view was, and I'm looking at it with, you know, from a commercial head on, if you like, rather than, a DA or HI who has different fee structures depending on bedroom sizes or council tax bands, but I simply thought with the rate crashing as it is down to £60 or £65, if we had a flat rate of £100, that should be acceptable to most DEAs and HIs. For those DEAs and HIs who you know won't work for less than £120 or £130 or whatever figures are, this solution isn't for them. And it won't work for them. But I can't. This solution isn't. It's not aimed to cater for the whole market. It's aimed to cater for the bulk of the market. So the offering really is, it's 295 freehold. We have got an EPC flat rate of £100, no matter how many bedrooms are involved there. And deferred payment is of course an option. So payment can be taken with debit card, credit card, or you know, deferred payment for 10 months.
Is there much paperwork for the DEA to fill out?
No, and here's a good bit, because everyone's worried about insurance, aren't they?
Yeah.
The DEA and the HI, let's say the best example is the estate agents, okay? That's going to be the most popular target. So the DEA or HI simply introduces the HIP offering to that estate agent. If the estate agent says yes, either the DEA or HI can phone me and I will contact the IT company, and the IT company will set up the estate agent's account. I have to say I set up a spare account yesterday and it must have taken all of 60 seconds, so I wouldn't say it's a particularly difficult arrangement. It's username, password, address, that's it. So you set up the estate agency account, or the estate agents can phone the IT company themselves and set themselves up. But the important thing is we will link the office with the DEA or HI who has introduced that agency to this HIP offering, so that it will ensure that the DEA or HI gets first refusal on all the work that comes through that particular office.
I see. And the deferred payment, Neil, what about that? I mean, you're basically entering into a credit agreement, aren't you?
Yeah, well, that's all sorted with, I mean, HIP Payment Services behind it. I mean, they're one of the seriously big players, and this agreement was all dealt with last year. There is one signature required from the seller, but the estate agent can, of course, do that when they go out and take the property on the market, which is typically, you know, a couple of days after valuation. Once you've had your valuations, sellers, you know, have a couple of days where they stew on things and they phone up and say, yeah, let's go for it, let's get on the market. And you do need to go around and take all the property particulars and all the photography anyway. So that's a good opportunity to get a signature. But of course, that's straightforward for deferred payment. But the DEA or HI is out of this. They don't need to be involved. They're not handling any cash. They don't need insurance to sell because they're not selling HIPs. This is really important stuff. They are simply introducing that office to this product, and they benefit because they get all the EPC work.
Okay. Now, when I've dealt with the credit packages in the past, sometimes there is a kickback, a bit of a commission, let's say, when you sign up a customer to a credit agreement. Is there such a fee in place for that?
No, I don't think there's any margin for that, Mike, to be fair. Okay. I mean, look, here's a good example, okay? It's 295 for the HIP. If you want to take deferred payment, deferred option, the 295 increases to 321, which is £26 you're paying for the deferred option, which is 10 months. You've got 10 months there to obviously sell your property. I believe the interest rate comes out something like 9%. There is not a kickback being paid, no.
And after 10 months, the credit company will chase the debts, etc. And if they don't pay, is the customer penalised at some punitive interest rate?
Well, they will come after the money. I mean, you are lodging your debit card or your credit card details,
right,
and they will endeavour to take that money. How it's taken from there, I don't know, Mike. We're not far enough into bad debts yet, are we, to understand what's going on? But look, the onus, of course, is, you know, the payment company will want to know when the house is actually under offer and exchanging and completing, and they can monitor that. Anybody can look at whether they're, you know, speaking to the estate agents or looking at Rightmove or however they wish to do that. Whether it's just a phone call once a month, they will be very careful at looking after their money, you can be rest assured.
It has to be noted, though, we're entering into we're going into the quiet period now, and the house selling market is going to slow down perhaps over the next 12 months. People could well find themselves with the property on the market for a year or more. It's not unusual around here. Do you think this might be a barrier for people to put the property on the market in the first place?
No, I don't think anyone with a property on the market for a year, you know, you've got to ask yourself serious questions there. That's an awful long time, Mike. If a HIP is a barrier to those people coming on the market, then good. As an estate agent, you do not want properties on the market for a year. That's an absolute fortune.
Yeah, you want as many as you can, don't you?
Absolutely. As a DEA, you know, people are talking about, oh, you know, the market might wobble and we might get, you know, people might start selling up. Well, good. Well, all we want is volumes as DEAs and HIs. It doesn't matter if the market's booming or crashing. As long as the volume is there, you're okay.
Right. Well, I asked people to throw the questions at you yesterday, and no one would dare do it in public, but I did have a few private messages come to me, and let's crack on with them now. One person who's quite happy to be named, Alex Bent, he writes, as an estate agent, Neil has more than likely had DEAs contacting his agency in order to sell the services, not realising he also runs Energy Experts. What things about these DEAs have impressed him and what hasn't? In other words, if he was just a normal estate agent, meant in the nicest way, what would get his business? Would he be happy with cold calling DEAs wandering in off the street, or would he prefer to be written to? I'm only asking this as my attempts at marketing to estate agents is getting nowhere, and I'm curious to know where I could be going wrong, if at all.
Very good. Well, I think Alex is a lady, actually, Mike, so I'll pull you up on that one. Don't wish to embarrass you, but I can't help myself.
Apologies.
She's actually right. I've had everybody approach me, of course. I've had DEAs, well, no, I say everybody approach me. Not that many DEAs and HIs have approached the agency. But yes, we've been approached by, you know, PAC providers, other panels, which is quite amusing, and, you know, just about everybody else in the industry, really. But no, from the DEAs and HIs, let's focus on that. I've had one or two people who have just sent in, well, no, we probably have five in all fairness, just a letter by itself. That isn't going to work. It's a letter is a good idea, but you've got to do the follow-up on it. Anyone who's just winging out, you know, 100 letters and they say, not had any response to 100 letters, well, of course not. Of course you won't. A good analogy is, you know, estate agency leafleting. I probably deliver 10,000 leaflets a month go out in my town with my agent's details on, and the response rate is very, very small. Percentage, but it is a viable way of working. With the 100 letters, you'd be better off sending 20 letters and doing 20 phone calls afterwards and speak. You've got to get hold of the right people. And estate agency offices are quite notorious. It can be quite difficult to speak with the partner or the office manager. Typically, they are busy people. They didn't get to the top of their office without, putting their feet up on the table and doing very little. That's quite unlikely. They tend to be busy. But another thing that, I mean, obviously, people have dropped in to see me as well, and that's very effective. Unannounced is fine, actually, from my perspective. But again, in a very busy office, that won't be welcome. And really don't wander in on a Saturday morning. Most agencies on a Saturday morning are, you know, pretty busy dealing with viewings, but you wander in during the week and just poke your head around the door. You know, have you got yourself sorted for energy reports? Why not? In fact, from now, this you should be saying, have you got yourself sorted for HIPs? You know, don't focus a little bit less on EPCs and focus more on HIPs as your potential offering. Estate agents are still, many of them haven't got through to the actual situation where they've got to put the graphs on the particulars yet. Even here, we know we've only done a couple of properties now with the graphs on, and it's easy enough once you do it, but you do need to go through the administration of actually doing all that, and then agents will begin to embrace DEAs and HIs as a representative of their company when they go out and work for them. So on the marketing, letters are good. Phone calls are better. Popping in to see the office is very, very good idea. But when you do pop in, don't pop in on the assumption that you are going to see the right person and be there for half an hour. Pop in and say, you know, can I set up a meeting? I'd like to sort of spend 20 minutes with you. And if you know, the ideal thing is actually to get the manager out of the office for 20 minutes, take him for a cup of coffee. I've put some sort of good suggestions actually in the covering notes that will be coming out this week to go along with the hip offering. I'm really giving DEAs and HIs tips about how to sell themselves, but also the hip offering, to their local estate agents.
Good advice there, Neil. I'd just say that on any mail order campaign, I think the professionals would tell you that a 3% response is a very good response. So if you're sending out 100 and you're getting 3 back, count yourself lucky. If you're sending out 20, then you have to work a lot harder. And you can't beat the personal touch, as you say. Cracking on then. Now, these questions are anonymous. So are you sat comfortably, Neil?
Bring it on, Mike. Don't bother me. Come on.
Okay.
Quick fire round, please.
Quick fire round. Why did Neil used to have a picture of a muscly guy dressed in Lycra riding a bike as his avatar when this is far removed from what I have seen of him in the flesh?
I used to be a muscly bloke dressed in Lycra, cycling up and down the A1, the A12, the A13, and any other bit of fast tarmac I could find. Haven't had
and clubbing actually in certain gay nightclubs, Neil.
Well, of course, yeah. Strictly at weekends. I used to do a reasonable amount of cycling. Wasn't necessarily going to win any awards, but when you go out and, you know, compete doing 50 mile, 100 mile, or 12 hour time trials, I mean, you've got to be reasonably fit. So
Okay, quick fire, you said. Neil, how much does it cost your company to put a HIP together, including the searches, but without the EPC? I think you've already answered that, really. But
correct.
Clarify.
We don't offer a HIP without an EPC. The EPC is done by the DEA, so that is creating that work. So we don't offer that.
Right. Why can a DEA get a search company to provide a basic HIP minus the EPC for £140 anywhere in the UK, yet you charge £200 plus, excluding the VAT? Well, we have to assume that he didn't know that you were at 295. So anyway, just ignore that bit.
Correct. And equally, I'm not a HIP provider as well. So we have to draw this distinction slightly. But
I think he's basically asking, though, why are you charging that amount when he claims he can get it for £140? Where's the margin coming from?
Well, look, there are some people out there offering some extremely cheap HIPs, and best of luck to them, but I'm not competing in that market.
Okay. Neil, you advertise on the HIDIA forums, HIDIA, with good prices, but do not mention the VAT.
Fine. Well, 295 is plus VAT. The leasehold is, let's run through everything actually. Leasehold is an extra 50, so that would be 345 plus VAT. We know that the deferred cost is an extra £26 plus VAT. I think I understand where people are coming from VAT, but I think people need to quickly remember DAs and HIs need to recognise they are now they're sort of sole traders or limited companies, and the whole commercial world works in net prices. CLG made this mistake with one of their games many months ago, where they put the price out and assumed that it would include VAT when the rest of the world works in net prices. So everything is plus VAT.
Neil, why would any home inspector, DEA, use your company?
For what? For receiving work? Receiving EPC work or for creating HIP?
I think we just have to assume the widest possible meaning to that.
Okay, for receiving EPC work, they're likely to receive a better fee than they would get from most other companies, if not all other companies. They're likely to work on a wide range of houses as well. We've got a huge variation in house size, and also the price of some of these properties that we're selling is very high, which means they're quite interesting properties to do. I would hope, though, I would assume that people will get quite tired of one and two bedroom boxes by about probably March the 1st next year. So I think we're offering interesting work, but obviously at interesting rates. And in terms of why would they use us to offer HIPs, they are going to guarantee themselves the work at a fixed known rate, so at £100 per EPC. But most importantly, they are becoming the local solution to the local demand. They are going to become the local expert for providing obviously EPCs, but they have created the HIP solution, but they're solving their estate agents' problems. So that's how I see it.
You're a very visible bloke as well, aren't you, really? You're not one of these corporates that hide behind a facade, so people know you, people can easily get in touch with you, and you're not afraid of people speaking the voice, are you? If people
Absolutely.
Got a criticism, you're quite happy to take that on board.
If the criticism's fair, I'll take it on board, and I absolutely, we won't do things correctly. I can think of two problems or two errors we have made in the last week, which I know are going to happen again, but I really hope they don't. But we are going to make errors. This is what happens in running any business. We're dealing with human beings, and errors are going to happen, and we will apologise when errors are made. But equally, if the criticism is unfounded, I will give as good as I get. Again, we're dealing with individuals who maybe aren't used to working as sole traders or limited companies, which is what they're trading as now. And if, as a company, they choose to make a statement that criticises either myself or my company, I will defend our position very, very clearly.
Neil, this is a question that I've just thought of now, which I don't think you've addressed yet, is how long do you say that you'll turn around a HIP?
Right. The key to this is actually the searches element. We did a HIP for a DA who I met at a steering group meeting actually a week before last, and a lady said to me, I need a HIP, and I said, no problem. So we ordered it on the Friday, and in fact, the HIP was ready for publishing on the Tuesday without the searches. But you can, in this current transitional phase, that's fine. You can publish a HIP. You can go, there you go, there's your HIP. It's online. You wouldn't run off a printed copy without searches. That'd be madness. But it's ready to go, in terms of providing a shortcut to a prospective buyer. It was ready. In terms of the searches, you simply have to wait for the local authorities, and they're varying wildly from area to area. You've got two issues, local authority access, but the water searches as well. I think Southern Water, 33 days I saw quoted, and there aren't quick ways around these problems. So I think what our HIP offering allows you to do is to publish the HIP before you have all of that information in there. So for a prospective buyer, you can say, here is all the HIP that is available at this point in time. It's live. When the new documents arrive, it automatically updates. So I think that's very, very, very powerful.
And your price of $295, was it, takes account of all the regional variations in prices? Because as we know,
yes,
local authorities charge massively different rates, and that takes account of all that, yeah.
Absolutely.
So what if, therefore, that sort of begs the question, this will be the final question now. If you've got a local authority that's very cheap, are you going to pass that on?
Well, the good news is the HIP will actually automatically defer to the if the authorized search is cheaper than the personal search, it will automatically include the authorized search, which is good news, because I think there's been quite some debate over authorized searches. But in terms of discount for the overall HIP price, at this time the quick answer is no. However, all three partners, we're not adverse to the idea of reducing HIP pricing in the future if that is what is required. But I have to say, we're trying to provide a quality solution. If you start taking money out all the time, you end up losing the support. I mean, Energy Experts is here, from 9 in the morning till 7 in the evening. We're here on Saturdays, and, 9 till 5 on a Saturday. And it's highly likely in the spring we're going to be, here for support on Sundays as well. If you want that support, you've got to operate at the good end of the market. We can strip out the pricing all day long. At some point, you will suffer with a lack of support, lack of quality, and that's where you get customer service problems. And if, as a DA or HI, you've walked into that local estate agent and manage to convince them that the independent hippies are way ahead, what you don't want is for the, you know, you go and do your job very, very well. You go and do your EPCs on time, you lodge the RRN numbers on time, you do your job very proficiently, but you find the rest of the hippies letting you down. And you get a bad name without, you know, it's not your fault, is it? So, if the future is that all these search companies, or rather the local authorities, do reduce all their search costs, then absolutely we'll review the overall pricing. But Mike, I have to say, why would we start chopping chunks out of the pricing when some of the leading hip providers are currently putting their hip prices up at the moment? 295 is very competitive.
I think one of the reasons the government did this, at least the home information pack portion of the whole deal, was to drive down drive up efficiencies and drive down costs, and local authorities have been one of the targets in that. So I think inevitably the prices of searches will become cheaper and quicker, and therefore there is an argument to be made that you will be pressured in a likewise manner down.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's quite possible, and that's fine. I think if we see other hip providers dropping the price of their hips, we'll need to react to that quite rightly. But at this point in time, I think if DAs and HIs are worrying a little bit too much about search prices, then probably need to worry a bit more about the fact that the bulk of the work's coming through at £60 and £65. As a self-employed DA or HI, I know what I'd be worried about a lot more. And it ain't the search prices.
Okay, Neil. It is time to pimp your site.
Very good. Well, Energy Experts can be found at 3Ws, and it's nrgexperts.co.uk. And if you'd like to email me, if you're interested in the HIP offering, feel free to email me at info@nrgexperts.co.uk. And we are getting hard copies printed up of the HIPs, and also professionally printed flyers as well, which will be available to people. And I'd be very, very keen to touch base with everybody who feels that they want to go and approach their local agents or solicitors or new home builders, whoever it might be. And of course, everyone comes from a different background into this industry, so there's a lot of contacts out there. But anyone who'd like to offer the HIP, please drop me a line.
Okay, well, good luck with that, Neil, and thanks ever so much for coming on. It's good to hear what's been happening as a business, because we've not had you on as a business before, so thanks once again for coming on and keeping us up to date. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Tom Parks, Managing Director of Quest. So if anyone's got any questions that you'd like put to him, feel free to email me at podcasts@energy-performance-certificates.org. So, Neil, thanks for coming on, and wish you all the best. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, goodbye. Say goodbye, Neil. Goodbye, everybody.
You're listening to the DEA podcast.
Podcast at energy-performance-certificates.org.
You like that?